Hi, I'm Stephanie. When Celebrate Recovery was first introduced at church, I cried every service. I remember thinking, you cannot cry this week. You cried last week. People will think you're crazy. You know how you feel when everybody's looking at you? Really, they're not, but it feels that way. And then I had written the words down to the song, Earth Has No Sorrow That Heaven Can't Heal, in early 2016. And this song played in one of the Celebrate Recovery services. And I knew at that time that God was leading me to Celebrate Recovery. But I'm busy. You know, we have the excuses. I have a family. I work full time. I have two children. My husband has a busy schedule. And I wasn't sure how to fit it in. And I also wasn't sure what to expect. You know, I don't share easily. Vulnerability is definitely not my strength. So the thought of going in with other people, I was scared. And then I remembered a sermon from early 2016 by Pastor Adrian about the walls that we build up around ourselves. And are we protecting ourselves, and are we afraid of people seeing who we really are? And maybe it's time to tear those walls down. And I thought, all right, Lord, I'll do this, and I'll take one step at a time and see where it leads. And fast forward to a couple weeks ago in Celebrate Recovery, we were asked to write down what Celebrate Recovery had meant to us. And I wrote these words, sacred space for healing. Being able to be open, to be real, to share, to be prayed for, isn't that what church is all about? And it's why Jesus came. I remember at one time I remarked to somebody years ago, but I said, you know, I'm not sure I've ever heard somebody come into church and request prayer for the addiction, for the bondage, from the hurt, from abuse. And it's like we're afraid to be open and to be real. But that's why Jesus came, to redeem us and to set us free. Not long ago, I read a devotion that said that the Hebrews looked at failure as maturing with God, where the Greeks used failure as disqualification. And so often that still happens in the church today. And the devotion went on to say, but that's not God's way. God wants to redeem us. He can use that brokenness and that hurt. And it doesn't mean that we're failures. It's preparing us to be used in His kingdom. So being able to come together and celebrate recovery, we cry together, we share, we pray for one another. We celebrate the victory that we have in Jesus. The Lord told me last year, I will restore you to health and I will heal your wounds. And He has used Celebrate Recovery to do that.
Remember, it was about a year ago now that our pastoral staff took an entire day to meet with a gentleman named Kevin Skellett, who's the area coordinator for Celebrate Recovery. And most of us had no idea what we were walking into that day. It was kind of a sneak attack. Probably a couple pastors would have pretended to be sick or something, maybe. I don't know. But we came in the room that day, and for an entire day, we journeyed through the training of what Celebrate Recovery was, what it was all about, why it was formed, and what purpose and mission it had. This organization that's aimed at walking with people with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. I remember sitting there that day and thinking as we were going through the training, and it was a very participatory thing. I mean, we all had to share from our own hearts and our past and even some of our brokenness. I remember thinking that day, man, this is something that we have to do. Now, I got to tell you, there's a lot of vision that we talk about as pastors and leaders, and there's a lot of good ideas I hear. I can't tell you many things that I've sat in. Life groups might be the only one that I can think of off the top of my head that I sat there and said, man, we have to do this. And on that day, I just knew that God was going to birth within us Celebrate Recovery. So this morning, you get to hear from some of the leadership that have been involved for months and months now in training to prepare for the launch of this new venue, this new ministry here. So the purpose of today is to kind of update you, inspire you, and invite you as we embrace this new ministry that's launching here in just a couple weeks. Well, again, the purpose, the mission, because one of the biggest questions we get is, well, what is Celebrate Recovery? Because people might hear about it and they might not totally understand. And it will be a weekly worship gathering here at HFCN. And so you'll begin hearing us talk about, well, we worship on Sundays, but we worship on Mondays, because that will be the night that Celebrate Recovery will launch here at the church. And so it will begin in this room with worship. It will begin with some teaching. It will begin with a testimony of somebody who God is walking with them through a hurt or a habit or a hang-up, a real story of somebody whose life is being impacted. And then, of course, each week there'll be the opportunity to break out into groups and discuss a little bit deeper That's an option. That's not something that's forced upon you. But as you're ready and you want to participate in the group discussion, that's an option that's available. Also, the evening will end with food. So that's an important part of any gathering that will happen. Amen. I hear that. One of the really neat things that inspires me about Celebrate Recovery is there's something for every age group. Of course, there'll be childcare, but there'll be a place for the kids. It's called the Celebration Place. And this is not just come and have a lesson. This is kids journeying through hurts, habits, and hangups in their own life. There'll be a place for the teens called The Landing, and it will be a place for students, middle school and high school students, to journey through hurts, habits, and hangups. And so this will be something that's happening in English and Spanish and for all generations on the same night, and we're really, really excited about all that God's going to do. So you may be here today saying, okay, well, so what? What does this involve? How does this involve me? Well, we have a slide on Monday, February 13th. We're going to launch Celebrate Recovery here. So first and foremost, if you're here this morning, you're supposed to pray for this. That's probably why you're here today. This is part of who we are as a church. This is not just something that some people are going to participate in. It's the vision that we believe is for all of us. So I'm begging you, I'm urging you to pray about what God would want to do through this opportunity. But also, I'm really inviting you to show up. And you may say, well, I don't think this is for me. Man, would you show up the first week to just support it? Wouldn't it be cool that first week, the people that really want to come don't have to come into a big empty room, that we would come that night? And maybe you would just pray. Maybe you would just support it. Maybe you would just see what, maybe this is something for you. Maybe you know it's not, but you would just come that night and say, I want to be a part of launch, and this is an exciting thing for our community. I want to be there to support it. We have other things in your worship guide today. There's a handout. It looks something like this. We need a lot of volunteer support centered around this. All of the leadership that has been training and meeting weekly for months, they're here to kind of support what's going on, but we need a lot more help. And so you may say, well, I don't know that I feel like I'm drawn to participate, but I would be willing to serve. Well, man, we have opportunities. So if you would take that out this morning and look, there are opportunities all across the board that we need, and we need to hear from you in ways that you can come and support it. Finally, right outside in the old foyer here outside these doors, we have resources available. So maybe you have questions about Celebrate Recovery. Maybe you know somebody that you feel like, man, this is for them. Every week after services, you can come and there'll be somebody on the Celebrate Recovery team that can help answer questions or give you resources to help connect this vital ministry. Well, really, one of the reasons that this ministry matters so much to me is because it's personal. And I believe for each of us, if we would allow this to be a personal thing, we would realize, wow, that this really matters. And personally, in my own journey, I've shared a little bit about my mom. My mom was a great, great mother. She was a pastor's wife as I grew up in the church. And when I was in my teenage years, my mom began to struggle with some abuse that had happened to her at a very, very young age. And not anything that anyone would ever wish upon anyone, but it happened to her. And she had suppressed it so much that in my teenage years, she became depressed, suicidal. And really, for a large portion of my teenage years, was very absent physically and emotionally to me. There were many times in my life where I often wondered, is my mom ever going to really be okay? I mean, she would kind of go, she believed in Jesus, and she would pray, and she'd be able to hold a job for a little while, but then she just couldn't do it. The pain was just too deep, the guilt, the shame that she carried. And I experienced over years that God was beginning to do some work in her, but it wasn't until my mom discovered Celebrate Recovery that God really began to redeem that place in her life. And her church, my dad's church, just a couple years back launched Celebrate Recovery. And I looked at my dad one day as he was sharing all the things that God has done in their church. And I said, Dad, it would have been worth it to launch Celebrate Recovery just for mom, wouldn't it? And he looked at me and said, with tears in his eyes, absolutely. And my mom now is really one of the main leaders that leads Celebrate Recovery in her own church. So I'm telling you today, not as a pastor, not as somebody that gets up here whose job is to tell you to believe in this. I'm telling you as somebody who my mom's life has been changed through it. This is worth it. And for us to not be a part of this as a local church would be disobedient to what God calls us to do. And so today is your opportunity to pray and see what God would want you to do to respond. This morning, you're going to hear from some other leaders and some others that have been journeying through Celebrate Recovery. Pastor Margaret and Pastor Carolyn have been a big part of leading the training. And now Pastor Carolyn's going to share a little bit more of some of the issues, that the challenges, the hurts that people can bring into Celebrate Recovery and how you can find help in healing. So check this out.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Carolyn Bing, and I'm here to talk about Celebrate Recovery and a particular part of Celebrate Recovery that can be helpful to us. Codependency. What is that? It can be when we love too much. We may make others so important that our joy and fulfillment hinges on others, love and approval and presence. We believe we will not be happy unless others accept us, pay more attention to us, need us more, or become what we want. Some elements of codependency that we might have are that we can worry too much about a person or a problem. We may feel we need to stay on top of everything. We may feel responsible when others are angry or sad. We might minimize or cover for what others do wrong. When we may always be apologizing for something. We also may have difficulty disagreeing with others. We may tiptoe around those we are afraid of. We may do anything to keep the peace. We may tend to cling to others. We may want others to take care of us. Or we may tend to offer unrequested help. We might try to fix people's problems. And we may feel used by those we try to help or please. What's the problem with codependency? It really doesn't work. It doesn't work for us, and it doesn't work for other people that are part of our lives. It creates problems, stress, and resentment. It's not God's best plan for us. There is a better way. There's a path to a better way of healing, wholeness, and hope. One way and one path to that is Celebrate Recovery. We can work towards that hope and healing from codependency. I do believe that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wants us to have freedom in Him. If any of these things have sounded familiar to you, you may be struggling with codependency. And Celebrate Recovery is a safe, warm, confidential environment in which to work through some of these things so that God can bring light and healing into our lives. I have a lot of people in my life. I know you do too. There's a person I've known for many years that's a friend. They're not part of the church or family. I have had moments in my life because of the struggles that they've had. How much help do I give them? And sometimes God gives me a check. And that happened recently, and they're doing really well now after some struggles for a number of years. And I don't want to be their God, little g. I want to walk alongside them and help as God directs and His Holy Spirit leads me. There's a person in our congregation that has a saying, and his name is Earl. And he says, let God be God all by Himself, and let's work towards that.
Well, I'm grateful that every one of you are here today. You'd be anywhere you wanted to be, but you chose to be here. So I'm grateful for that. I just want to kind of start this morning kind of where Carolyn was talking about codependency. Like, what is codependency? I had no clue. And so I want to read something to you that speaks to what codependency. It was just something I read. It kind of synopsizes everything that Carolyn just shared with us. In the broadest sense, codependency is when a person's need for approval or validation from another person allows them to be controlled or manipulated. They are willing to compromise their own values, choices, and behavior at the expense of their personal well-being. And just a thought that sometimes unless we lay God's word over our life, we don't realize that our values and our behaviors aren't centered in Christ. And so it's very important for us to do that, to lay God's word over our life. And Celebrate Recovery is just a great place and a safe place to do that. If you would like to turn this morning to Romans 12, I'm going to be kind of getting the foundation from God's Word this morning out of those first two verses. And while you're turning there, I just want to also mention something else that I've been learning. Sobriety isn't just about being sober from alcohol or drugs. There are all types of sobriety that are available to us through Christ, and it's sobriety for emotional, physical abuse, sobriety for food issues, for anger, financial issues, gambling, sexual addiction, or being codependent with someone who has sexual addiction. So there's all these areas of sobriety that I had no idea that were available to bring freedom to us and to live in a place that we don't have to be angry, we don't have to be addicted to food, just all of those things. So that's one of the things that I have learned that has been very valuable to me. As you know, and you've heard us talk in months before about Celebrate Recovery is really a 12-step program grounded in the principles out of Matthew 5, that great Sermon on the Mount. And so that's where this is grounded, in that place where Jesus taught the people there how to live as Jesus believers. And as we look at the scripture today, in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so, when we come to Christ, he gives us a measure in his word of how to live as believers. And so something has to change. We can't accept Christ and continue to walk as we've always walked, or will we really have accepted Christ? Will that be just in word, but actually in our life? And so, in thinking of that, for me, I wish I could tell somebody else's story this morning. You know, it'd be so much easier, but I only have mine. Habits. You know, it's about hurts, hang-ups, and habits. And habits, for instance, can become so embedded in our lives early on. Things that we learn how to react and how to respond, and they're things that we learn early in life. And so, you know, I grew up in the same family. I've told you that I've grown up in. A lot of you have heard that. As I was thinking about what I would share today, I was thinking about when my brothers were in their teenage years, they were pretty rebellious. And they like to give mom a hard time, especially, and I kind of felt bad for her. So I was the compliant one. They were strong-willed. You know, they would tell her how they felt, and I thought, well, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to get into that. So what I did was I put everything in. I stuffed everything in, and I became that person that tried to do the things, to work hard, to whatever I could to gain approval, because you see, I was very broken at a young age. And so I knew that I wasn't approved of for just who I was. So I had to work extra hard to make sure that they liked me. And this became a way of life for me. And God is just revealing this through Celebrate Recovery. This is something that I've not worked through before. It's fresh. And so when I left the farm at 14, my dad and I were the only two there, and I wanted to please them, but I kept everything underneath. And pretty soon that life that I was hiding came out, and I ended up just leaving home, just left it all. And I went to work at Purdue in Bridgewater, and man, I was going to be a good employee, and I worked hard. And one day, Shirley, my boss, pulled me off the line. She said, Margaret, stop, look around. And everybody else had stopped. And I was there doing all the work. She's like, you don't need to work this hard. So it wasn't, the work ethic was not the problem. Good work ethic is good, but it's why we do it. It's about why we do things. And even if we don't work hard, it's about the guilt that we have because we're doing it for the wrong reasons. You know, when I look at this, when it talks about codependency, freedom from these things begin when we surrender the illusion that our identity and value are established through the lenses of other people. Our identity is how God views us and who He created us to be. As a result, we no longer need to see ourselves as a function of what we do, but who we already are. So God's just brought this new freedom in me. It's something that I knew. I knew where my value in Christ was, but I had not taken that and really understood that these things that had been ingrained, formed in me early in my life, were out of balance. That it is just about who I am in Christ. It's not how I perform. And so the feelings that I've dealt with over the years of maybe not feeling like I added up, or that I should make sure I do this and this and this, God has brought freedom in that area. And that's just one of the areas that He has brought freedom to me, as I have realized that as that young girl wanted to be valued, I am valued. In Christ, I'm valued, and that's all that matters. I still need to have good work ethic, but I do it for the glory of God and not the praise of men. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. You know, Celebrate Recovery is a place to come, a safe place to come, and to lay the word of God over our lives in community. You know, I was thinking in Scripture where it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will show up. I can tell you, when this group of leaders come together, I think we all thought we were coming to help someone else. And if you could hear the testimonies of the people that have been in this ministry since April, training and learning and going through the steps themselves, and sitting around the table one night with the group of ladies that I'm with, I said to them, you know, thinking about the things that God is teaching us and that we're learning and that He's doing in us, and even the brokenness that we have in our own lives, can you imagine how much brokenness walks in our church every Sunday? And this is a safe place. I encourage you to pray about how God would have you to be involved, and please be in prayer for us. Certainly the enemy is not happy, but we are not going to let that stop us. It just drives me forward knowing that freedom is on the way. And now Rob Gilmer is a video coming up next. Rob is the apprentice along with Stephanie as she takes on the leadership of Celebrate Recovery. He is apprenticing under her. And just listen to Rob as he shares his testimony.
Hello, my name is Rob. Most of my life has been spent going from one habit to another. But a couple of years ago, Jesus became my Lord and Savior, and His love filled a hole in my heart that years of habits could not. Jesus and the power of Jesus broke the chain of my habits. The chain was broken, but years of covering up my hurts left an unseen mark that continued to impact my life. When Celebrate Recovery came to our church, I was drawn to this healing ministry. With a history of habits and the desire to help others in the grace of Jesus' healing love, Celebrate Recovery became a match that only God could arrange. So I began training to help others learn to heal. What I didn't realize was that Jesus would use Celebrate Recovery to begin to heal my hurts You see, all of the leaders were required to be active participants in the program. Even some of the pastors took part. After an emotionally honest men's group session, real healing began. The session revealed the pivotal cause of many of my habits. Celebrate Recovery provided a safe, caring, and God-inspired environment where my hurts could begin to heal. But most importantly, Celebrate Recovery led me to draw closer to God. You don't need to be bound by the chain of the past. Don't let your habits, hurts, and hang-ups get in the way of your relationship with Jesus, your family, and friends. The problem with the past is that there's no future in it. Let me welcome you to join us at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene as we celebrate recovery. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Let's have a hand for the testimonies that we have heard today. I want to thank Pastor Adrian for sharing today about his mother, being vulnerable and transparent so that we can get our hearts around what God is really wanting to do in our midst. I want to thank Stephanie for sharing a beautiful testimony, and just really touches my heart deeply. And I want to thank Pastor Carolyn for helping us not only with her expertise, which is in Christian counseling, but also to be so vulnerable in sharing that. It touched my heart. And I want to thank Pastor Margaret for coming once again and being willing to say, you know, I'm still in the healing mode. And then to have Rob Gilmer to share so beautifully what God has done and is doing in his life. And I want us to really be in prayer for Celebrate Recovery. It has been a year in the planting, but we've had it on our mind for several years. One time we actually had Celebrate Recovery for a short time in the cafe, and we appreciate Liz Shoup for helping us to kind of get the first ingredients of that way back. But God planted it, and we believe it's going to bring forth a harvest of healing. And so we are going to begin the night before Valentine's. So if you're able to join us at 6:30, also you may know friends or coworkers or neighbors or family that would benefit from this worship venue. It will be worship. It will begin right here in this room. Our Spanish brothers and sisters are going to be alongside doing also the things in Spanish. It'll be separate gatherings, but on the same evening, on Mondays. So we would love to have you invite or come. And maybe you're saying, I'm not real sure. At first I thought this is not for me, but maybe it is. And so if you come and just saturate for a bit and see if God situates you in it, I think you'll be glad for it later. And just so grateful. We're going to have prayer here in a moment for the leaders, but there are a few other things that we want to do. We also have some other things that happen here. Recovery and Restoration is a meeting that Dr. Schubert and Bev, his wife, lead. And that's going to be making a move to Thursday nights. They meet now on Monday, but they're going to move to Thursday nights. And that's all good. So we'll be talking more about that in the days ahead. And also, in our community, there is an organization that has always been very close to our heart as a local church. It's Greater Hope Ministries. As a matter of fact, back a few years ago, they were thinking of closing down that ministry of ministering wholeness and healing to the relationally, sexually broken. And our church stepped in through some folk who had really found healing in that group, and we were able to financially make sure they stayed alive, and they're doing good today. And today we have with us Kathy and Ron Kipps, and I want to ask them to just come and just have a seat here, if you would, Kipps, on the mourner's bench, we call it, but just have a seat. These are people, salt of the earth. They make me glad that I'm part of the community. I want to bring them into the story in just a moment, a little bit deeper. But they've sort of been ministering, I feel like, in obscurity a lot. The ministry that they do, a whole lot of people don't like to associate with it, but a whole lot of people need it. And I just want you to get a good look at them. So you remember to pray for Ron and Kathy Kipps. 2 years ago in January, I was at a pastor's gathering that I just returned from just a few hours ago for this year. And at that gathering, the Lord began to speak to me as a local pastor. It went something like this: Carrie, I want you to begin to move from not just leading the church, but I want you to step into trying to lead the community closer together around my name. And I took that invitation to heart and didn't know exactly what God meant by it, but I was willing. And so some of you know that we began a partnership almost immediately with Salvation Army. I knew that would be a good way to begin to get our community at least focused around compassion. And I have a letter just came in my box. It was in my box when I came in this morning from Major Harwell at Salvation Army, thanking us for all we have done the last 2 years to encourage the ministry of Salvation Army. And I guess you realize that if I'm invited into it, that means you all are. I guess you're picking up on that. I am still leading the church as well. But we're leading the church into the community in a new way. Some other things that the Lord has had me to do with the ministry that I partner alongside Heidi Dove in, we have been bringing in nonprofits. We had a luncheon one day where we invited all the nonprofits in the area, the Christian-related ones especially, and we didn't know if anyone would come, but we had 60 people come and have soup and salad with us, and we were able to have prayer together, encouragement together. So God's working on that invitation. Well, I thought, you know, I believe God's pleased. I believe I about got my plate full here. But then one day I got a call from Kathy Kipps, and she said, Carrie, Ron and I would like to come by and talk with you for a few minutes. And I thought, oh, boy, here we go. So they came in, and we met in the well. That's a deep place. And we sat there at the table together, and they said, we've been praying, and we need a new board chairman to volunteer for Greater Hope, and we were wondering if you would pray about it. I told them that I would take a week. I think I took two, maybe. And I knew when they left the room that this was something God wanted us to do, wanted me to do. And so I called them, and we met again in the same place, and they were sort of antsy and not sure what the answer was. But I looked at them, and I said, I believe God would have us to do this. And so I've had my first board meeting with Greater Hope, and it was a wonderful gathering. And then I looked at what God is doing in our local church with Celebrate Recovery and with Recovery and Restoration, and I'm kind of excited about what God may be pulling together. There are other ministries here like divorce care and grief care, and I'm just talking about a few of them today. But I believe that God wants to open our hearts to be His healing center like never before in our community. And I wanted Kathy and Ron to be here today because in many ways they have inspired me. I don't know of any board chairmanship I would really want to do, to be honest. But to hang out with these two once in a while and to be able to pray with them and to be a part of their banquet and all of that is something that I feel indebted to say yes to, but also delighted. So today we're going to close our service because we like to remember those who have engaged us and encouraged us. And you know, I was at my first board meeting. Kathy said something that touched my heart. She said, you know, Pastor Carrie, we are still in the black for Greater Hope only because of the last offering Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene gave us. And I think the last thing that a ministry like this ought to have to worry about are the finances. They have enough other battle to do. I was at the banquet while back, and Ron stood up, and his lip was quivering like he usually is when he's talking, and he held up these rugged crosses, and he said, I told the Lord I have to do something and try to raise some funds for people who can't afford the curriculum of Greater Hope Ministries. And so I put these crosses together, and as soon as he said, the Lord said, you're going to own one. He just spoke to my heart, and I went straight to Ron, about knocked him over. I said, I want that one. And I gave him the bill the Lord had told me to give him for it, and I brought it home. Because here's what these ministries I've talked about so far have in common: Greater Hope, Celebrate Recovery, Recovery and Restoration. It's all around the cross of Jesus Christ. And so I told Ron, I said, Ron, why don't you make some more of these crosses? See if the Lord wants to speak to anybody else. And he told me this morning out on their table, he said, I got 11 of them. He said, and Pastor Carey, they're made from 200-year-old wood, and they're all different. They're all unique. But if 11 of you today would want to take home a cross, you just go out and see Ron at the close of the service and give whatever the Lord tells you to give him, and he'll give you a cross of your choice. I think that a minimum would be about $40, let me just say, in case some of you are wondering. But you might want to give more. But if you don't have that much to give, he's not selling them, he's sharing them, so that other people who might not be able to afford to come to greater hope will be able to come. So I just want to make sure the cross gets lifted today. We're going to receive an offering in the close of the service in a few moments. And the ushers can get in place, but don't come quite yet to the front. And this offering today will go in total to Greater Hope Ministries. So if you write a check, write it to Greater Hope Ministries. And if you give cash, they'll receive that as well. But every dollar of what comes in today is our investment up front to say, Lord, we want Celebrate Recovery to be a ministry that brings hope, but we don't want to do it at the expense of the other ministries that are already bringing hope. We want to be their partner. We want them to know that we're synergizing. We're in synergy together in this ministry. So that's why the offering today will go for Greater Hope. I'm going to ask those who have been sharing in the leading of Celebrate Recovery, you've been in the training, I'd like for you to come now, if you would, and just stand here behind the bench with me. And Kathy, if you'll slide a little closer over there to Ron, yes, you all take that corner over there. Are the Schuberts here? I'll have them come and sit here. If they are, they may be in the next service. But I haven't seen if the Schuberts are here. But all of those who are part of Celebrate Recovery, come, please. And just some of you, if the Schuberts aren't here, some of you, oh, here are the Schuberts, yes. Sorry, they're so quiet you can't even hear them moving. Let's have them have a seat here. And maybe, is Pastor Carolyn, Pastor Margaret, where are you at? If you would flank either side of this bench. And Stephanie, if you and Rob would make you get here on the bench too. If y'all slide a little closer, I think we can put six on that bench if we sit real tight. Rob, would you sit? Thank you so much. Y'all can come on in closer here. God bless you. I want you to get a good look at what Celebrate Recovery looks like so far. It's not that scary, is it? I don't think. Maybe the one holding the mic, but other than that, I think we're in a good place. And I want us to pray a blessing and ask God's help. This morning we're having prayer in the Gethsemane room, and Kathy and Ron were there. And as I pray for this service, Kathy, she smiled at me at the end, and she said, as you were praying, I could just see in my mind's eye God rolling out a red carpet for Celebrate Recovery in this church. And she said, I'm pretty sure it was the blood of Jesus. That touched my heart deeply. And the song we sang this morning about If I Were to Tell My Story, that song, the witness of the Spirit came in my heart as we sang that song. I just wept. That could be my testimony, is that when I tell my story, I tell of Jesus. So I'm glad I've been a part of Celebrate Recovery. Kim and I have been taking part in the training, and we have profited from it immensely. We have found deeper healing that we didn't know existed. And so we invite you on the 13th of February to consider, but also please don't consider, do this, do pray. Let's have prayer, and then the ushers will come, and there'll be a beautiful video at which at the end I'll give a brief word of benediction, and we will be done. Would you bow your hearts? Lord, today we are overwhelmed with humility, but also possibility. And Lord, today we want to begin by praying a special covering over Greater Hope Ministries. We've believed in Greater Hope for years, and this year I really get to prove that I really believe in Greater Hope because I get to sit at the table with the likes of Kathy and Ron Kipps and the others on the board. And I know that there may be some in our congregation that Celebrate Recovery is not ringing their bell, but Greater Hope is, because that may be the place they need to go. So today at the table, they can talk with Kathy and Ron and see if that would be the option that would be best for them. We also have a second option. The Schuberts are leading recovery and restoration. And today, Lord, you could be speaking to people in this room and saying you need to go and speak with the Schuberts today. And they can be available after the service in the foyer, wherever they might be, but they're a part of our congregation. So we can talk to them whenever we see them. And also, Lord, you see Stephanie and Rob here today, Stephanie Schaefer, Rob Gilmer, And they have stepped up because they are products of Celebrate Recovery, like many of the rest of us are. And they cannot just embrace it as their own. They have to share it with others. And we thank you for this leadership. It's an answer to prayer that you have raised up the lay leadership that we need for Celebrate Recovery to really get its start. And we do not despise small beginnings. Lord, I would pray that your hand of mercy would be upon each one standing here alongside me as we have trained and we are trying to find our place in the Celebrate Recovery quilt, so to speak. We want to know where our patch should be sewn in to bring warmth and to bring wholeness into the lives of others. So, Lord, continue to speak to us, but we need a lot more help. As Rob and I were sharing in dialogue through email, he was like, Pastor Carey, we're going to need a lot more men. We're going to need some more men to step up in the church and to volunteer. And I assured him that God would bring along the help, and the help would come from our congregation. So, Lord, I know that you're already speaking, and I know that our people believe in obeying, so I'm not worried about it. I trust you, and I trust them. I pray that you will bring to us those who do not know there is a place of healing and a face of healing. His name is Jesus. I pray that we will lift the cross and you will draw people to yourself. I pray that we will first minister to those in our local church and then you will entrust us with our community, and who knows what beyond that might happen. I pray ahead of Greater Hope. I know they have a banquet coming up on April 24th, I believe it is. I pray that that would be the high watermark of their ministry and that they would move forward with greater traction than they've ever known as they share the truth and love with people who come who seemingly are hopeless, but they find that hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. I pray with those who struggle, especially even now with addiction overcoming their life, that recovery and restoration will be that pathway of light that will lead them by the blood of Jesus to the Savior to find that victory in Jesus is not just a song, it is a reality. And I pray, Lord, for Celebrate Recovery, that you will give to us a worship venue where people will come to worship and not realize how wonderful their lives are going to be because they opened up and simply said yes to the one we worship. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Holy Spirit, one. And all the people said, amen. And if you're for healing and wholeness, let's give applause to heaven because we know it's available. You all can be seated back in your regular chairs now. And Kathy, you and Ron can go on out to the foyer. And Shubers, if you'd like to go to the foyer too and just be near the Greater Hope table. We're all in this together. That's what today is about. And now, Lord, add your blessing to this offering that we receive for Greater Hope Ministries.
Elliot's my fourth child. Basically, when they pulled Elliot out, they knew right away that something wasn't right with him.
I was working with troubled teens in a halfway house. I'd always wanted to be a pastor, but I'd always wanted to be a cop. That following spring, I was officer of the year in 2002.
There was a tumor in my brain. What 21-year-old wants to hear they have cancer?
15 or 16, I started struggling with an eating disorder.
It was my 12th birthday. I was turning 12. None of us heard the gunshot. We just heard my mom screaming.
I was sold into sex trafficking by my mother. I was 12.
They covered me with plastic, pronounced me dead. People meet me and they would never know all the things that I've been through.
I would overexercise, skip meals, trying to keep the shell pretty. I still ran track, and every race I lost was because I wasn't skinny enough. I had that approval addiction. It took control of me. My parents had planned an intervention for me, and my family, now they're telling me that I'm hurting them. That started a turning point. All of the lies that I had been speaking over myself and all of the pain from my past replaced with who I am in Christ.
This particular pastor called and he says, we've gotten these two young men who broke into a bunch of cars. We just need you to come and pick them up. Two young men conspired to kill me, throw me out in the woods somewhere, and take off with my car and run. So I jumped on the hood, put my gun right up against the glass and said, don't do it. It took off with me on the hood of the car. When I jumped off of the hood, I hit the back of my head, which immediately busted both my inner ears. I had severe vertigo, attacks, PTSD, everything that I had ever taken pride in, my strength, my abilities, all of that was gone.
It was a really, really rough labor. He had a 9x6 centimeter cyst in the center of his brain. His head was extra large. We don't know if he'll talk. We don't know if he'll walk. My heart sunk. I had no idea that he would end up having 8 surgeries that year.
He hit me head on at 80 miles per hour. When the police got there, I was pronounced dead without a pulse for almost an hour. When they pulled the car off of me, I took a gasp. I started breathing again. When I left the hospital, I was told that I'd never be able to have children, and they're not sure if I'd be able to walk.
I was trapped in a house with a man who abused me for 6 months.
I walked in and he was just on the floor. I just think it's crazy walking in on your stepfather shooting himself at 12 on your birthday.
To realize that I may never perform music again, I was almost more sad about that than having cancer itself. I changed my attitude. I said, I'm going to give this to God and I'm going to allow people into my life to help me. I can't do this alone.
I believe that God is a great physician. Even when I said I'd never have children again, I just didn't believe it. I'm walking, I'm running, and I have a child. I know that that has to be because God is with me.
There's no way I could have got through all this just by myself.
I knew he was there, and as he rebuilt me, I regained all that I had lost without the arrogance.
I see how his hand has shielded me, and there's a purpose in that. Every day I'm living out that purpose.
Everyone been through difficult time. I can do anything through Christ who strengthened me.
He's alive. Anyone who sees him thinks he's a miracle.
3.5.
In every situation, there can be joy, there can be life. What I thought was a death sentence turned into be my story and my life. I've battled cancer 4 times. If I trust in him, I can do anything.
Let's stand for the close of our service today. Next Sunday, I'll have the privilege of speaking my heart along the lines of today's topic, and I'm looking forward to being able to say, I am Celebrate Recovery. It's a term that we can use generically, or we can use it as a name for a ministry, but thanks to Jesus that we can celebrate. And recovery means the past is the past, and I'll never forget what Rob said. There's no future in the past. That's powerful. Lord, today we pray that your heart is warmed as we worship you in spirit and in truth. And I thank you today for bringing us all together in the way you did during this service. I pray that you would repeat it now, and that those coming to the next gathering will get a sense of how great God really is. And the people said, God bless. Remember the one worship service on Wednesday night for college students and young adults. Pastor Billy will be leading that. And if you need someone to pray with you today, just stop by the well across from the cafe, and someone will be there to have prayer with you.